Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot, with Drupal workshops coming up in Portland, Oregon, and Providence, Rhode Island. For more information, go to lullabot.com/training.
I'm Austin Smith, and I've been working for the New York Observer for a year and a half, and today, the first day of DrupalCon, is my first day working for The Economist. So while I don't really know what to expect at The Economist, what we've done at the New York Observer, I think is a lot of interesting stuff, especially for a newspaper, and getting views and CCK to work well in an editorial workflow. We've had to write a lot of custom modules around that, specifically exposing options to editorial through CCK fields that we then have to process. So it's your basic, you know, hook Node API writ large. The result is that the new version of Observer.com, which launched on February 25th, has about 13 custom modules, all sort of cordoned off into their own concerns. A big part of what we have to do is classify every article in a number of different ways that Drupal's taxonomy system can't encompass yet. And one of those is every article that appears in the print edition, our editors want that to be reflected on the site. So in the previous version, and this is actually well documented on the New York Observer's case study on Drupal.org, which is about the Drupal 5 version, the way it was done then was every print edition was a node of unto itself. And we're trying to represent data the best way possible. And sometimes that means not using nodes. Sometimes that means using lighter weight modules that don't do as much work. And I mean, obviously there are a lot of reasons for that. Performance is a major concern for us. But breaking out of the print edition node type meant that we had to define a CCK date field that reflected the day that the article was printed, and then writing a fair amount of custom logic around that to group articles just by this date and then display them in our standard template for a group of articles. The other thing that we did, and I guess only time will tell if this was a wise decision or not, but we really had to come up with our own way of collecting and theming a group of nodes. So be it a group of nodes based on the author of the article or the print edition or the main channel, we use the primary term module for that, they all end up getting piped through the same set of dispatcher functions. So, and really, that's the core of what we had to do was write one dispatcher, which would sort of serve as the logical controller component of a module view controller system.
So give me some of the names of these modules and how they're working together. You talked about the CCK and other dispatcher modules. Are any of these released in project pages on Drupal.org, or are they all custom, or what are some of the names?
Well, a lot of the logic that we use, we built into our own modules, but that's all built upon community modules. I mean, I could give you the list. We rely very heavily on Token, which is a really, really powerful module that I'm not sure is as widely understood as it could be. I've heard people describe it as the string replacement on steroids, but it's so much more than that. And obviously, any media site strives to be SEO friendly, and for that you have to use Path Auto. But we actually took that a step further by defining our own menu hooks that, rather than accepting IDs, they accepted like encoded versions of like the name of the term itself. And the benefit of that is that the default path to any term would be term/, let's say we were talking about Barack Obama, it'd be term/Barack-Obama. And that gives us the added benefit of being able to then add an additional URL alias on top of that. So if we wanted observer.com/Barack Obama, we could have it while still retaining an SEO-friendly term page to begin with. And we had to do a lot of work to keep it compliant with the old version so that we didn't end up with any dead links. We used the Memcache module just to get an extra performance boost. In terms of what we've done with views and CCK, we used views for a ton of early prototyping. Stuff that actually ended up being our own custom queries started out as views. And anything that ended up as a view in the production site, and there are several views that are out there, we ended up exporting them and then defining them in our own module files. CCK, we use, I mean, in a lot of ways, aside from, you know, collecting data that has to conform to a node, We use it just sort of to get pretty form elements. I mean, that's a big, quick benefit. And then we have a no-changing CCK once you've designed the data structure rule, which actually our bot on call through our redesign, Jeff Eaton, is sort of adamant about. And as a result, we can, with some confidence, refer to CCK and our Forms API hooks and really use CCK to, I guess the best way to put it is, for all the custom modules we had, there's almost always a switch that an editor can flip to do one thing or the other on the site. Almost all those switches are CCK, but almost none of the logic is actually controlled by CCK. And further into CCK, we use a third-party video provider called Twistage that we've been really very happy with. The other developer at The Observer, Matt Johnson, wrote a very comprehensive Twistage module that exposes Twistage videos just as a CCK field, which lets us do really powerful things with video. And because it's a CCK field, you know, add as many videos as you want, and you get a nice little jQuery carousel out of it. And that's actually contributed. It's drupal.org/project/Twistage. And then for other multimedia handling, we have a couple of instances of image field. But we use image field to collect the images themselves and to have them uploaded to the server. We don't actually use image field to display them. We just read the array in our own custom template pre-process hook to output it exactly how we want it. So if you upload multiple images using image field, you end up with a slideshow in the article. And if you, you know, whatever you assign the lowest weight is your lead image, and that can be used in other portions of the site too. We use user reference for authors. A common problem with big Drupal sites, and especially media sites, is that it's very rare that the person who actually creates the node is, you know, who's getting the byline for it. So we right now are using user reference, but we're going to actually change that to just be a free tagging taxonomy vocabulary. For a couple of reasons. One, because it's easier. There's less logic around it. If somebody new writes for The Observer, all they have to do is type their name. And the way it is now, either they have to provision a new user or they have to use a special CCK field that's just a text field that says author without user profile. And then there's some logic around that that we didn't really like. But really, the main reason behind it is that we're also using the Apache Solr module to do a really custom site search. And this is one of the things that I would say I'm most happy with. We were almost going to launch with just using a really simple, very crappy Google custom search engine. Then sort of at the last minute, we were like, you know what? This is just not what we're looking for. It's not useful. Our users aren't going to enjoy using this. So we really, in about 6 hours on the Sunday night before we launched it, you know, no knowledge of Solr, no knowledge of the Solr module, I was able to build a Solr server, install the module, expose what I wanted exposed to it, and I clicked go and it just worked. I was very, very impressed with the Solr module. And I know that I've been tangentially involved as I've been able in the Drupal project module and trying to get that upgraded to Drupal 6. And I know that they're using Solr for a lot of really cool stuff there too. So I thought I'd give it a try, and it was awesome. Really, the only trouble I had was theming the search results. And the only reason I had any trouble with that is because I hadn't done it before. So we ended up with a search engine that's really powerful, but every reporter on our staff immediately searched for themselves. And because we weren't exposing, and maybe there's a way to do it and I just don't know about it, we weren't exposing the user reference CCK field to Solr. We're only exposing the creator. And there's basically three guys who create every node, and they're editors. So if you search for one of them in particular, like every article comes up. And if you search for people who get a lot of bylines but don't ever create their own nodes, you get nothing. So it's free and easy to expose vocabularies to Solr. So by reprovisioning all of our authors as taxonomy terms, boom, Solr's done. That's something that I'm looking forward to seeing done. I'm not certain that I'm going to do it myself, but it's a definite improvement that we're going to have to make. The bulk of the work remaining is that we have a special feature content type to create, and that would be fundamentally like a collection of a handful of articles, but with like a preamble and some special images associated with it. It's an easily overlooked addition that every editorial team wants. You know, how do I handle my special cases? What do I do if I have a package of three articles? Because it's easy to represent in print. You just drag the articles close to each other on the page and give them a big headline on top that encompasses all the articles. But that's a lot harder to do on the internet without some fairly sophisticated logic behind it. And this is sort of beyond how we have, well, any collection of articles. Basically, we can pass just a list of node IDs to a single function, and then it'll pop out in our exact right theme. But because of the additional data required, we're going to have to use a content type for it. I'm not sure of any other modules that we use that were... we use Malum for spam filtering. And actually, we discovered in the first week, we accidentally didn't move Malum over, simply because it's a 15-minute thing that's easy to fall off your list. We changed our editorial policy to require registrations for comments. And so we thought, it's probably not that big of a deal that we don't have Malum on there yet. Wrong. Totally wrong. Even if you require registration, you need something in there that a computer can't trick. So, the lesson is, if you make things easy for users... And we really went out of our way to make the user registration process as simple as possible, then you're also making life easier for spammers and easier for the scripts that they run. Oh, and actually, this may be a duplicate effort, and if it is, I'm sorry, but we also contributed a simple module called Comment Login, which just sort of puts the comment form and a login form together, and you can do the whole process at once. And I don't know the official name of the project off the top of my head, but if you go to Drupal.org and search for comment login, you'll probably find it.
And what was the most surprising thing for you in your whole time of being at the Observer and working with Drupal? What was something that surprised you the most?
I guess looking back on it, when I started out, I didn't like Drupal much at all. The New York Observer was my first job working with Drupal, and my only exposure to it was... very, very minimal. I'd integrated with it using Ruby on Rails once before, and I had made a couple of little tweaks to somebody's system as a favor, but I had never really dove into it. I think the most surprising thing is how much I came to love Drupal after, after about 6 months. Maybe DrupalCon Boston was sort of where I turned a corner. And part of that is that my first exposure to Drupal was this massive newspaper CMS. It wasn't, a simple Drupal site. It wasn't me building a blog of my own and then using it. But I eventually did do that, and I've actually built, I probably couldn't count the number of just sort of side projects I built on Drupal. But, coming from somebody who didn't know Drupal when he started, came to hate it pretty quickly, I would say the most surprising thing is how much I love it now and how indispensable I think it is to the news media industry online.
Great. Thanks.
Sure, no problem.